Hi, my name is Aidan, and I was born into a Christian family and raised with Christian values from both my parents and extended family. I always enjoyed the time I got to spend with them growing up and continue to now. My church family was also an important part of growing up. I first came to this church when I was 10 days old, when it was Bedford Baptist Church, before it merged with Inglewood Church of Christ. I grew up in front of a lot of important people that were a part of this church, but one specific person I'd like to mention is Mr. Main. I remember often being taught by him in Sync Youth, and later joining him as a helper when I became old enough. He's been a long-term friend of the family, and I've always looked up to him. He's served in the church in many different ways and is a part of why I'm getting baptized here today. Another important part of my decision to get baptized is a time that I was watching people get baptized and I felt compelled to myself, but also conflicted about when to get baptized. It was then that Mum turned to me and asked, "So when are you going to get baptized?" And I suddenly felt the peace of knowing that I would get baptized, but that I didn't need to know about, didn't need to worry about when or where it happened because I had made a commitment. That I could take my time knowing I had made a decision and that wouldn't change because I knew I wouldn't have any reason to go back on that decision. I wouldn't change my decision because I know who I am and who I want to continue being. Someone who loves their neighbor and God the way Jesus did. Someone who takes responsibility for my mistakes and not someone who follows what the world says you should do. The world says you're a good person while you keep making excuses for yourself. We can see others make mistakes and think we're better than them, but if we ever make similar mistakes, we justify it. I've been so stressed recently. I'm so tired today, or I've never done it before. It was just one time. The Bible says you're responsible for your mistakes and you need to repent and hold yourself accountable for your actions. Because if you get accustomed to making excuses for your mistakes, you're telling yourself kind lies that you want to believe and you lose sight of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you lie to yourself or others, you inhibit your growth towards being more like Jesus, the way God wants, and risk believing the harmful ways of the world that are so easy to believe without questioning. I made my decision to follow Jesus a long time ago. This baptism is my outward expression of that decision and an expression of my commitment to repenting for my sins and turning away from the ways of the world that keep us apart from God. I'm happy to have been born into a home that taught me to follow Jesus and that I could get a head start towards having the love and compassion of Christ and to grow more and more. To be the person God made me to be and try my best to love others the way I am loved.
I'm Andy. I'm blessed to have been born in Australia and to go to Inglewood Community Church after drifting away from the Lord. It's also helpful to live close by. And before I chose to emulate Christ, I perpetuated cycles of conflict against everyone I loved, and I subjected myself to all sorts of sins and damaged my brain as a result. My relationships were superficial, if not dysfunctional. Idol worship became my coping mechanisms. YouTubers replaced my absent family with parasocial relationships. Video games replaced my crummy environment with digital simulation. Culture wars replaced my lack of faith with political ideology. These things distracted me from the hopelessness of my situation. But God sent Luke Yates into my life to play board games with me when no one else had the time or inclination to develop a relationship with me. And through him, I met Christ. He guided me through theological discussions as only a trained missionary could. He helped me work through my pride, cynicism, depression, addictions, and he shepherded me away from occultism, teaching me to discern holy from unholy. After that, I connected with Christ online, where faith-based artists and essayists shared their values worldwide, showing me that Christians are well-rounded and engaging individuals. Lastly, I counted Christ through the members of the church, who see me not as a number or a statistic, not even as an autist, but as a man of equal worth as everyone else. Since finding Christ, I serve my community more willingly, and I strive to avoid past sins, continually working to improve my character. Though I will inevitably fall short, I trust God's forgiveness in Christ me and his promise to be made present even in my darkest hour. I therefore pursue the kingdom of God on earth, making it better slowly by degrees until the Anointed One returns to fix the world. My sanctification through Christ produces the purpose and meaning I need to experience life as the gift that it is. Through Christ, I find purpose and meaning in life's gifts. And if you let God in, you too can discover your reason to live.
Well, thanks, guys, for those testimonies. We're going to come and step down here. And same order as before. We'll start off with Aidan. And it's a nice, you know, it's always nice to have a summer's day for a baptism, isn't it? Alrighty. So, I just suddenly realised, yeah, Aidan's just getting changed there with the shoes. Awesome. So, Aidan, if I can just get you to kneel down there. No, just come forward a bit so you've got room. This is going to be an awesome hair flick afterwards. Oh, no. He's awesome. Alrighty. Aidan, do you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Saviour, and your treasure?
Yes.
On the basis of your confession, I will now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Do you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Saviour, and your treasure?
I do.
On the basis of your confession, I will now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Facing out there. Just before these guys head off and get changed, I'm going to squidge in here. We're just going to do a quick prayer and keep going with the service. Lord God, we thank you for these men. We thank you that you have brought them to us, you've brought them into your kingdom, and you have led them to yourself. And we entrust you with their journey onwards from here, knowing that you will love them, you will protect them, you will be with them, you will never ever leave them, and help us to support them to fulfill our responsibility as a church to them. We thank you for this day and for this commitment. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's absolutely awesome. It's our turn to celebrate now. Won't you stand with us? We're going to sing this song from the beginning. Christ is our reward.
Christ is our reward.
like those young men, that we've decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Christ is enough for me, Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Why don't you have a seat? And so it is a baptism service, and well, I'm not sure how, you never know, some people might be the first baptism they've ever seen. Have you ever been in a situation where you've walked into some place, or you've indeed maybe even seen a ceremony, maybe you're overseas, and you've stood there going, why do they do that? What is going on there? And why do they do it? You know, for some people, baptism looks like a strange ritual. You know, getting dunked in water in front of everyone. Like, oh, why do they do that? You know, in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, he helps us to see that baptism, it's not strange when you realize that it's the natural response to meeting Jesus and being changed by him. You know, here at Inglewood, when you get baptized, or when you put your hand up to get baptized, you go through some, I guess you call it preparation classes. I don't like the word classes, it makes it sound like school, but, you know, like baptism preparation sessions. And for years, when I used to lead people through baptism prep, I always started in the same place. Acts chapter 2. And the reason why I like to start there is because there were a lot of people in that text, in that part of the Bible, who were confused and amazed and wondering, what on earth is going on here? And we're not going to read the whole thing today, but you will know that if you have read it, it all starts off with a bunch of people there for a completely different reason. They were there for the feast of Pentecost. But of course, this Jewish feast of Pentecost wasn't like any other feast, was it? Because it was at this Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came in tongues of fire, that would get my attention, settling on people's heads and everyone talking in bizarre and different languages all of a sudden. It was so chaotic that people are thinking they must be drunk. They must be drunk. I like that. That hasn't moved on much, has it? That's still the first century excuse when you can't explain something. Oh, they must be all plastered. And it's that causes the Apostle Peter to get up and preach a sermon, really, that recounts almost, you know, in broad strokes, the history of the people of Israel. And where he gets to is interesting. We see is it's not just a demonstration of why baptism matters, but what actually happens inside a person before that moment ever arrives. And we're going to just share very short four thoughts on this morning. I tried to make them all start with a C so it makes it easier to remember. Confrontation, conviction, conversion, confession is what happens. I'll go through those again. Confrontation, conviction, conversion, and confession. I'm just going to read through, it'll be on the screen, just the last couple of verses of this big long speech that gets spoken by the Apostle Peter. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, not pulling any punches there, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off and for all whom the Lord our God will call. And we've seen that this morning, haven't we? So, first of all, confronted. The truth confronted the people that were listening to Peter. The truth about who this Jesus fellow really was. He was actually the Son of God. And in realizing that truth, they realized something true about themselves. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Peter didn't hold back. This Jesus, who you crucified, he says. He's a Jew saying this. He's saying it to his own friends and family. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Messiah. You know, that is confronting news, isn't it? It's confronting to be told that the one person that you have been ignoring, the person that you wrote off, is actually the key to not just your life, but to all of reality making sense. You know, sometimes when we get a new piece of flat pack furniture, which we try to do as least often as possible, you know, you're putting together a chest of drawers, let's say, and you come to a moment when you realise that, oh my goodness, to go any further, I need a certain set of screws or whatever, and I can't find them anywhere. Have you had this experience? When you can't find the bits that you need to finish the job. The problem is that I'm also a really enthusiastic cleaner-upperer. I hate clutter. And I like the extra room to be able to construct the flat pack. And so I get a bit quick sometimes of like throwing the boxes and the packaging out. And so when I inevitably find the screws that we need in the bin still connected to one of the boxes, I keep very quiet about it. I threw it out. I rejected the thing that was actually needed to make the whole thing fit together and the whole thing work. You know, the people that are listening to this, they realized they had rejected the critical ingredient to life itself. Have you? It is so easy to be so busy about our own business that we accidentally reject the most critical ingredient of all to all of life. The reality of Jesus Christ. But God is gracious and he will confront us about this through his word, through others or through moments where we finally see our need for him. That's what testimonies are all about. People say, I realized I needed God. Convicted. Next, verse 37 says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. It wasn't like, oh, that's an inconvenient detail that we've missed. They were cut to the heart. That's called conviction. It's that deep sense inside that something isn't right, that something is deeply wrong, that you've made a mistake. Remember that feeling when you were a kid and you just knew, uh-oh. Like, you know, I hit a cricket ball through a window once, and I'm like, oh, no. You get that feeling of conviction. But here's the thing. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? You know, some people stop there. Some people run away. That's Genesis chapter 3, isn't it? Uh-oh, we've done what God told us not to do. What do? Run and hide. And that's the trap. Sometimes people stop there. They feel guilty, but they do nothing about it. They know they're going the wrong way, but they keep walking anyway. But conviction, here's the good news, it's meant to actually lead somewhere. And that is to conversion. They were concerned about this new information. What are we going to do about this? They were concerned enough to be converted by the truth. The crowd asks the Apostle Peter, what do we do? You know, that's the most important question to restart your life. What am I going to do about this new information? That's concern. That's concern. And Peter replies, repent and be baptized. There it is. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you don't just get the slate wiped clean. There's a bonus. I mean, it's more than a bonus. There's this added gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. The added gift of the Holy Spirit. He who would only converse with a certain few individuals like great kings and prophets, he's now available for everyone. You get access to that. That is conversion. It means to turn around. Repent means not just to feel sorry, but to actually change course. Do you have intersections in Perth that you particularly hate? You know one of my least favourite intersections? It's on Morley Drive, Wanneroo Road. The green light is so ridiculously out of time there. And so I spend a lot of time waiting, because I'm always on Morley Drive, because we like to go to Scarborough Beach to go for a walk with an ice cream in the evenings. You know, it's nice. But you have to wait an eternity. I don't get road rage. You have to wait for an eternity when you're sitting there at the lights for Wanneroo Road to pass. You know, and the other day, I looked up and I just noticed that in the right lane, because there's that median strip that goes down the middle of Caronup Road / Morley Drive, right? And so if you want to, like, all of a sudden, if you're going the wrong way, there's not many places to do a U-turn. And so at the Wanneroo Road intersection, and there's a few of these around Perth, there's a sign up on the middle traffic light pole. You know what it says? It says U-turn permitted. That's what Jesus does. When we're convicted, when we're concerned about the truth, he says, yeah, but you know what? You don't have to live like this. U-turn permitted. You can change course. You can make a U-turn. And the act of that is conversion. And that's become somewhat of a dirty word in some places at the moment, but sorry, that's what it is. A U-turn. U-turn permitted. Isn't that good news? U-turn permitted. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And fourthly, they had to receive that by confessing it. The final step is receiving, and confession is a way of receiving that truth. They didn't earn God's love. They received it. They were like, oh my goodness, what have we done? We've crucified the Lord of glory. But God's love was big enough, and they didn't dwell and wallow in their guilt and their shame. They received the gift. Romans 8 reminds us that when we belong to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who calls us God's children, and reminds us that we're loved, we're forgiven, we're never alone. So why baptism? It's because once you've made that U-turn, once you've turned to Christ and received his Spirit, baptism is the way that you confess. That's why we so often have testimonies with a baptism. I doubt everyone got to do their testimony on this particular day, 3,000 baptisms in one day. I mean, that's some serious gym work there. 1,600 years ago, though, a guy by the name of St. Augustine He talked about a sacrament, sacraments being baptism and the Lord's Supper. He called them sermons without words. We act out the truth. We demonstrate the truth in baptism, going under the water in death, dying to self and raising up to life again in Christ. It's a way that we confess what Jesus has done in us publicly, and we're declaring to everyone, I belong to Jesus. You know, if you're sitting here this morning and you're like, man, I want to do that. You know what? This spa, it only takes a day to set up. We can do one of these again before the end of the year. It's not too late. It's not too late. I don't care if we did baptism services every Sunday. We'd probably have to change the water eventually, but it'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. So let's sum it up. This is what it means. It's a sermon without words, an outward sign of what God has already done inside. It's an act of obedience when we make that U-turn. That's part of the deal. Jesus commanded it, but as a joyful step of faith. It doesn't cause salvation. It doesn't make you saved, but it does celebrate it. You're not baptized to become a Christian. You're baptized because you are one. And that's why we celebrate baptism. And I mentioned earlier on, we have these terms, there's a strange term, sacrament, as I invite the helpers up for our communion and the band can begin to play. Sacrament, where does that come from? It's a strange sounding word. It's not actually originally a Christian word. It was a word in the Roman army. More accurately, it was sacramentum. And what a sacramentum was when a person or a man decided to become a Roman soldier. The Roman army would often use free men, or it was also sometimes a way out of slavery to become a citizen. They would do the sacramentum. And what the sacramentum was, it was to kneel before the emperor and to pledge one's life in service of the glory of Rome. We're not about the glory of Rome. We're about the glory of God. And so you can see why the Romans might have gotten a bit upset when the early Christians kind of stole this word to refer to the things that we do as communities to pledge who we are. We are not in allegiance with the emperor. We are not in allegiance with Rome. We are in allegiance with the true King. And we've just talked about how we proclaim that through baptism. But the other sacrament is the Lord's Supper, because it's not just about pledging our allegiance, like, yeah, I'm going to try really hard. But you know what else it's about? It's about proclaiming our need for Him to do that. When we walk forward each Sunday and take communion, we are agreeing with the words of Jesus. When He said, metaphorically, but nonetheless, when He said, "They who, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." What's He saying in that metaphor? He's saying, you need to rely on me. I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in me. And the way we do that is we meditate, we think about what He has done for us each Sunday. We remind ourselves, this is who He is. This is how far He's willing to go. This is how much He loves us. This is the King we serve. We pledge our allegiance as we take a step forward, and we proclaim our need for Him to fulfill it. That is the Christian sacrament. That is the Christian sacrament. We're going to sing together. And as we sing, if you'd like to step forward and take part in one of the most ancient ceremonies on earth, think about that. Take part in the sacrament that people have been doing for thousands and thousands of years to proclaim their allegiance to and their need for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have made a way. We proclaim that You are King. and no other. We thank you, Lord, that you give us everything we need. You have given us the gift of your Holy Spirit to propel us on this journey with you. But we take a step of response this morning. Some of us in baptism, all of us in communion. Thank you for the sacraments that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.